Hello, welcome to Your Politics, the weekly politics podcast from the RTE Leinster House team. I'm Áine Lawler. With me, my colleagues, Micheál Lehane and Joe McGraelig. And Micheál, this week, it's very much been the third level fees row, hasn't it?
Yeah, a self-inflicted blow by the government, particularly the higher education minister, who said in the clearest terms that as things stand, he would be of the view that those registration fees, contribution fees essentially, were going to go up by €1,000. And that's because there's no cost of living package. That much is confirmed in the next budget. And so that had ensued a great degree of panic across government and across constituency offices up and down the country, which apparently is still happening today. Parents and students want to know, do they have to pay €2,000, as was the case last year, or is it going to be €3,000? So I think the guts of a compromise may be taking shape, but there is a great political difficulty in all of this still, because officially it can only be decided in the budget and in the budget negotiations. So will the government be able to maintain that line in the months ahead, to speak in somewhat vague terms about maybe it won't be the 3,000 actually, or will they have to provide clarity, which the opposition has demanded now for 3 days in succession?
You have to work with the hand you're dealt with. That's what he said on this week. And that's what was said today as well. Jennifer Whitmore brought it up on Leaders' Questions today. This matter has been brought up on Leaders' Questions every day this week, which shows you really that it has a real issue politically, and that people are hearing about it right across the country.
And of course, we've had a very strong reaction to that interview that James Lawless, the Higher Education Minister, gave to Justin McCarthy on this week on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Particularly from the former minister, now tarnished as Simon Harris. So the other aspect of this, Joe, is Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, the former minister, the tarnished, and the newbie minister.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. When Simon Harris was the Minister for Higher and Further Education, he made a big pitch on this. And it's something that Fine Gael has continued throughout the last government and in the general election campaign about reducing college fees and keeping them low. Indeed, Fianna Fáil has as well. But it was a particular issue for Simon Harris. And so after James Lawless made those comments on this week, the following day, Fine Gael were wheeling people out to come up with, to present the alternative view that they have, which is that, first of all, Maeve O'Connell was out there, who is their Dáil spokesperson on further and higher education. And then Simon Harris was sending WhatsApp recordings to his TDs as well, basically pointing out that the programme for government is the programme for government. It does say that they will continue to work on reducing student contributions, and the decision will be made in the budgetary process. Now, they've all been saying that we have to return towards this more normal version of a budgetary process every year, because, of course, we've departed from that because of the cost of living packages over the last number of years. But very definitely they're laying down, the Tánaiste was laying down the marker there that it will be part of the budgetary process, which is something I think, Micheál, that that James Lawless came around to last night as well, speaking to the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party. He also said that it'll go into the budgetary process.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to have this options paper, isn't he? That's going to set out the option as
options
to how they do it.
Options are a great thing, aren't they?
Options are the greatest thing ever. Yeah, so I suppose the option paper will put a wording around this. That might be enough to get the government through it, because it'll be at least be something tangible to present. But on the whole question of tensions, I think perhaps they could be overstated slightly, in the sense that if push comes to shove and there is a crisis, and there could well be a crisis in the next 10 days or so around the whole tariffs issue, you feel that unity at the upper levels of government is probably okay. There's a bit of pushing and shoving here. There is real anger among the backbenchers, particularly the Fianna Fáil backbenchers, who feel that their man is being a bit unfairly treated here, and they think there's a degree of posturing by Fine Gael in the media. It's difficult for Fine Gael too, especially given that the Tánaiste had flagged at his own parliamentary party meeting on Wednesday of last week that those reductions in education costs would be a key part of the budget. So there is a degree of tension there. But I still think the biggest political challenge really is about being able to get through this crisis by being vague because of the budgetary process. And I don't know how that can be done, to be honest.
Yes, and while Fianna Fáil backbenchers didn't mind, pointing out that as the former minister, Simon Harris, while he may have benefited from cutting the fees thanks to the cost of living package, he didn't build in permanent cuts in the fees, and, you know, saying this is what James Lawless has now inherited. But the really interesting thing is, I think all sides are really conscious, aren't they, that this year the economic headwinds, I mean, there might be lots of money in the kitty, but the economic headwinds are different. And the warnings that are coming from the ESRI, the Central Bank, the Fiscal Council about living within your means, because the corporation tax golden goose is going to stop laying the egg soon.
Yeah, it's still laying the egg at the moment, but the danger is, obviously, with the headwinds that are coming our way, that that will stop. And of course, there's no doubt the results of what Donald Trump has already done and already said in terms of the corporates, that we won't really see that probably for 2 or 3 or 4 years' time, because, of course, it'll be a slower switching of investment. So, you know, this we could be at the beginning of a longer-term process, and that would be very troublesome for Ireland, because we do get so much of the money that's been used for all those once-offs, and indeed for a lot of day-to-day spending as well, and it's coming from those corporates. So that's the thing. Going back to the other point, though, I just feel that in the last government there was many a disagreement between the constituent parts, being the Green Party as well, and they were always resolved when they got to the leaders' meeting on the Monday night. That's where they were able to smooth them all over. So you would think that that will be the way that they will smooth this one
there
over.
There seems
too.
To be a different dynamic there, though, wasn't there, with Eamon Ryan, Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin. I think the dynamic is different this time in all kinds of ways. I think, too, the fact that you don't have an out-and-out third part of the government. Yes, the independents are there and are becoming a more cohesive bloc in themselves.
You were blogging about that.
Yeah, right? And they are seeking to become in clear terms what the Greens were, but that's probably not there yet. So until that happens, that inevitably heightens the tension between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
But there is a bit of Brexit solidarity in coming, isn't there, in the knowledge that we're a week out from the tariff deadline now. Mm. It looks as if the baseline will be 10%. There's still no clarity on pharma. And we've seen with Donald Trump, and I think the EU has been warned by the negotiators, haven't they? Even if you get a deal on the 9th, could be all torn up on the 11th.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Well, Ursula von der Leyen was even saying that today. We're speaking on Thursday. She's in Denmark for the beginning of the presidency there, the EU presidency held by Denmark. And she was saying that today. We're hoping for a deal. There's still progress being made, but we're also preparing very definitely for not having a deal. So, I mean, it literally could be the 11th hour and they could announce a deal, and it'll be up to Donald Trump to say, you know what, I like that or I don't like that. So it's completely unpredictable until such time as it is delivered. But one way or the other, we're looking at this 10% baseline, which is already in effect for many things. And that will be problematic. And what we're really hoping to see is that this zero for zero arrangement will be made for some of the vital areas that we are particularly interested in, like pharmaceuticals is probably the main one. I don't think we'll get zero for zero for some of our other interested areas, which is the likes of agriculture, for instance, because we're not big enough in that regard.
And you see, I suppose while you will have that level of cohesion that will come from a crisis like it did with Brexit, like it did with COVID, at the same time, this government probably could then have to face something they haven't faced before, and that is unpopular decisions. That's what that puts a new strain across them, doesn't it? And how would they cope with that? You saw from the Fianna Fáil government of 2009, when that sudden realisation comes across in the beginning, it causes a great degree of panic and unease on backbenches.
And is there trouble ahead, Micheál? I noticed in relation to the Occupied Territories Bill, which is in committee at the moment, the US Senator, the head of the Foreign Relations Committee, Senator Jim Risch, this was a story in the Irish Times this week, saying Ireland is on a hateful anti-Semitic path that will only lead to self-inflicted economic suffering. And this is if we pass the Occupied Territories Bill, that America would then have to seriously reconsider its deep and ongoing economic ties. So is there danger ahead there?
I think there is an awareness of that in government. And given that the fact that services bit is being separated from goods, is that a nod to that? Because it isn't advice from the AG. We know that now, that wherever that's coming from, it's not legal advice. Yes, legal advice has been sought on it. And when it comes to the bill itself, I suppose it is beginning to move slowly now, but it is at the earliest stages, isn't it? Going through pre-legislative scrutiny at the moment, that's done when the dog concludes. So this is a matter for the winter at the very earliest, and God knows where things will be economically by the winter. At the same time, when it comes to the government defence around separating services and goods, I mean, that does look very flimsy indeed. There was a lawyer at the committee last night, Jerry Liston, saying that this notion that the entire thing would collapse if challenged, if services were in it. He said if that were the case, well, that would be very easily remedied under a 1973 piece of legislation called the European Communities Directive, which would allow a country to just introduce a statutory instrument. So there would be no great collapse. It could easily be plucked out of the legislation if it came to it.
So it's a real division, isn't it, between the opposition and the government on this one, Joe, even though ostensibly they're all saying
yes, and
certainly working. Campaigned in the election on the basis of supporting the occupied territories.
Yeah, I think, though, very definitely you can see that it's been slow rolled up the hill, this bill. It was slow enough. Obviously, there was a bit of a flurry immediately prior to the general election, which surprised a lot of us that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael really got roundly behind the notion of the Occupied Territories Bill. And then since then, of course, there was, a question of coming up with a proper drafting and making sure that it's constitutional, making sure that it would be open or that it would withstand challenges, et cetera, et cetera. So we now have the new bill, the Israeli Settlements in the Occupied Territories Bill. It's at committee. It isn't going to be through the process by the end of this term. There's 2 weeks left in the Dáil, and it'll be most definitely the autumn, and who knows how much longer before that bill will ever be passed or will ever get to the Dáil and through the Shannon.
2 weeks left in the Dáil term, Micheál. Housing, the big issue that's dominated this whole term. We're still waiting on a number of key announcements from government, aren't we? So do we have any clearer idea now of the timeline? Big bangs, little bangs, what's the sequence?
Yeah, I think there is one more bang, definitely before the recess, and that seems to be something around viability that isn't linked to the budget. So whatever it is, it's not a direct finance taxation issue. And that could be known perhaps in the next few days. And then the next step after that are the two big things that housing need in the National Development Plan, that is water services and connections to the grid. There's going to be lots of money made available for that. It does seem that the overall updated housing strategy itself might be pushed out until the autumn now. James Brown being put under pressure by some on the independent side as saying, why don't you do all this in one big document, one big publication? He has formed the view that getting things through cabinet every week will create greater urgency around that. Of course, the measure will be some far time off on that one.
And the need for urgency underlined, isn't it, by the fact that the minister had to admit this week, after we had another record-breaking set of homelessness figures, that he couldn't prevent. He didn't, the likelihood would be that he wouldn't be able to prevent the numbers for child homelessness going over 5,000. I suppose the real difficulty is that nobody in government can yet tell us when we've turned the corner, a phrase we've heard a couple of times before, Joe.
Yes, the homeless figures have been rising inexorably every month for years now. And the homeless children in this latest figure last week was in excess of 4,844, I think. And he said that in a press conference there in government buildings on Tuesday after the weekly cabinet meeting, he admitted that it's heading towards 5,000 and there isn't really going to be anything done that will stop it from getting to 5,000 in the immediate term. Now, as Micheál outlined there, there's an awful lot of initiatives taking place. And the government keeps saying this, and the minister says it, and he uses this answer very frequently when he's asked questions. It is about delivery, it is about supply of housing, it's about getting the units on the ground. And that's the challenge, because supply isn't increasing at the moment. We've seen the revision of some of the forecasts by the central bank and others that there are actually going to be fewer houses delivered this year than they had previously said. So the target of 41,000 that the government had set, they're going to go nowhere near that. And ultimately, they're talking about 300,000 homes in the lifetime of this government. That looks like it's going to be a very, very difficult task.
And when you talk about turning the corner, isn't that the great problem politically that the government faces now? Because there was a tacit nod and to the fact that they said they had turned the corner with those figures that they gave before the election. With that all being disproved so spectacularly, I think they are politically on the back foot. And then that feeds into that wider notion that have people lost faith in anyone's ability at this point to fix the crisis?
I met Peter Power upstairs, the former Fianna Fáil minister. His name being mentioned in dispatches lately, Micheál.
Yes, for the presidency. I wonder I wonder, will Fianna Fáil run a candidate ultimately? They're going to push this out as far as they can. It's late August before Fianna Fáil will get round to this, although there will be a national executive meeting, I think, in July, where some people there will try and push for an earlier decision. But what Micheál Martin says on these things usually holds, and he did say it's going to be late August. Mary Hanafin, another one that's interested. There was one new TD. Up for the cup, definitely, yeah. There was one Fianna Fáil new TD, apparently, who said to Micheál Martin directly at a meeting that he is the only one within the party who could win the election for them. There's nothing to indicate that's going to happen. He has ruled it out. Although some with really long memories around here were talking about Charlie Haughey's return from Japan in 89 and the reverence shown to him there led him to call a snap election. Could a similar thing happen with Micheál Martin around the presidency?
He's been playing the harp over there, hasn't he?
He's been playing the Irish harp there, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Very presidential.
What's happening on the Fine Gael side then, Joe?
Well, as we know, there are two names been mentioned in dispatches there. Mairead McGuinness, who's shown real interest in this, and, of course, Sean Kelly as well, the MEP, both of whom are Fine Gael stalwarts, both of whom are very well known and very high profile. So what Fine Gael have said they're going to do is they're going to open up nominations next week. They actually have a process. They have laid it all out now very clearly. They'll open up nominations mm-hmm. next week. They'll be open for, I think, 2 weeks, up until the 15th of July. And anyone who wants to put their name forward will have to get... It's a fairly high bar, actually, to get a nomination. You're going to need... a good number of members, 20 members of the parliamentary party, 25 councillors, and the endorsement of 5 members of the executive council, the National Executive Council. So it's a high bar. It's not to say they can't reach it, of course. And then after that, if there are more than one candidates, they will go for hustings, and ultimately there'll be a vote. Yeah. And the vote will be based on the Fine Gael college system that they have, which gives 55% of the vote weighted towards the parliamentary party. So that always is very interesting as well. So that's the Fine Gael situation.
But it's early September before they put the candidate yes. in the field as well. So yeah, everyone's yeah. being protected from the ravages of the silly season.
And a yes. couple of Sinn
Féin marauding
TDs,
journalists all summer long picking at you. You don't want that, you see.
Get out the popcorn. A couple of Sinn Féin TDs, Micheál, saying to me, their sense of the consultation with the party grassroots is that the party grassroots do want a joint left presidential candidate. But that idea seems to be receding a little into the distance at this stage.
It's hard to find a unity candidate because Catherine Connolly does seem to be the one I think that the Social Democrats are interested in, and probably PBP Solidarity as well. Not so keen in Sinn Féin, it seems, particularly that visit with Mick Wallace and Claire Daly to Assad, Syria at the time by Catherine Connolly is being cited as one of the reasons there. So that wouldn't be a candidacy that would get the backing across the board, it seems. Others like Tom Clonan's name, the Senator and Disability Rights Campaigner, are being mentioned. He's not interested, though. So while that might be the view within the grassroots, I think ultimately everyone in Sinn Féin knows this is going to be decided perhaps higher up the chain and it will be presented to people as a fait accompli, no doubt. What is that, though, exactly? There is one group. It's maybe a small group, but it could be an influential one that still believe that someone like Gerry Adams could fit the bill in the sense that it would be a high-profile campaign and that it would motivate the party's grassroots and there'd be no problem getting volunteers out. I don't think that's a majority view, though, but I think it is there. There is also many within the party who say this should be seen as a first step to trying to get into government. The campaign should be used in those terms. Mm. And if that's going to happen, whether it's a unified left candidate mm-hmm. or someone from within the party, it has to be someone relatively new.
And the speculation continues, Joe. Lucinda Creighton saying on TV3 last night she thought Miriam O'Callaghan would be an excellent candidate. Mm-hmm. Joe Duffy on his final day on Liveline, not quite absolutely ruling out becoming a nominee.
I thought that was very interesting, both on Morning Ireland on Liveline, but also on the 6-1 News where Sharon Tobin closely questioned him on it.
And is it ego or interest, though?
He certainly wasn't ruling it out anyway. Now, I don't know of any party that's been courting him. If he was to possibly pursue something like that, we'd have to see an awful lot more about who'd be behind him and who would support him and all the rest of it. Michelle O'Neill is the other person, of course, that the Shinners have been talking about. She was down in Bodenstown the weekend before last delivering the oration. She didn't rule it out either when she was asked about it in the assembly recently enough. So she's a possibility. the independent Senator Frances Black, of course, was talked about as well, but she's, I think she's more or less out of the race now at this stage. She says 99.9% certain she won't be running.
The other, there is a group of votes there from the Labour Party, isn't there? There's 13 votes in the Dáil, and then there's a few senators as well. Not enough on their own to send someone on their way, but it's a block of votes that someone could tap into. And of course, Labour too would not be interested in Catherine Connolly for historic reasons.
And Colm Eastwood, of course, he's kind of busted flush already, really, would you say?
Yeah, I just don't think the approaches that were made to Colm Eastwood were off from the higher echelons within parties.
Yeah. Interesting one, though. If there's any independents looking to get into this game, right, and you want to go down the council route, okay, the councils are controlled by Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin now. It will be very difficult if they are in the game, if they are competing.
If Fianna Fáil are in the game, yes.
Because so, last time they weren't, so therefore it was a possibility of getting a nomination. But if they are in the game, getting a nomination as an independent from a local authority will be a much bigger hill to climb.
We may end up with a narrower field than we're used to in previous election campaigns because
of
that.
But if you look at Micheál Martin's words when he spoke about this on the News of One, he said, I think the most important thing is that we have an election. And I think we will have an election. So ultimately, that Fianna Fáil meeting in late August or whenever could determine the fate of independence as well. One independent who you can't even say it in those strong terms, but one name that has been mentioned is Declan Ganley. Could he possibly come into the reckoning now?
All right, we'll be keeping an eye on all of that. Before we go, Micheál, I want to cast our eyes onto another Parliament briefly. Everyone, I think, will have seen it, those tears trickling slowly down the British Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel Reeves, face yesterday as she sat in the House of Commons, her Prime Minister Keir Starmer in front of her, not quite giving her the total backing that the Conservatives were demanding after they had to do a U-turn on their £5 billion welfare cuts deal. And immediately, it's just compare and contrast the two economies. Those tears were worth £2 billion sterling because that was the reaction. Right. That was the cost on the bond markets and in the value of sterling.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say here, Micheál. No, don't you? Don't want to affect the markets more.
Knock a cent off the euro, which can happen as well, can't it? From comments made by Taoiseachs in the past. Yeah, I know it was spectacular. It was difficult to fully read what was happening there. People in the past have cited examples where Tony Blair, for personal reasons, got emotional. So it's hard to know the full story there. But it was a curious and it was, at a human level, a fairly devastating scene, I thought.
There probably was a time during the crash when you might have seen a finance minister in tears on the floor, yes, but indeed, I don't think these days, however big our problems.
Well, actually, no, though. Wasn't that the thing about, for all the flaws and the fact that the house was falling in itself, what was the word that David Davenport used to describe Brian Lenehan? He was at all times Pandlossian.
Actually, do you know the one thing
I'll have to check that one up.
I think
that means unflappable, doesn't it?
Yeah, get your diction.
Optimism in the face of great adversity, isn't it? Seeing the positive side.
I remember in those days you'd come into work and the headlines would be appalling and, you know, there'd be some new bit of news from somewhere around the world of somebody downgrading us or writing us off in some way, shape or form. Every morning you'd come in and there was something like that, you know, a new bad headline. Brian Lenehan would be outside that studio 20 minutes later trying to stabilise things, you know, trying to bring some calm and certainty. Obviously, the facts were what the facts were and the bailout became the bailout. But it's one of my abiding memories of that time. And also when you consider what he was dealing with in terms of his health, just physically, it was a remarkable thing to do, whatever about what happened politically.
Yeah, he was under immense pressure then. And actually, I mean, when you think of Rachel Reeves today, there's no doubt about it. She is under immense pressure trying to grapple with the current situation in the UK, with the current state of the UK economy, with the severe lack of income and the costs that she's trying to reduce. And I can only imagine that is a 24/7, 7-day-a-week job from which there is no let up at all.
And a leadership that's lost control of its party.
And a leadership
didn't happen.
Yes. And a leadership not backing her up either, you know, by changing, making these changes and caving into, you know, the rebels. So, I mean, she's obviously a woman under an awful lot of pressure.
All right. Well, no tears in the Dáil this week. We'll be
they
back.
Need more John Maloney's to go and sell cuts to older people.
We'll be back with you next week. Talk again then. Bye.